prophesied and everything that's spoken is just as real to you as you'll receive it. Amen? Just as it is in this room. If you'll receive it, it's real to you in that very thing. Hallelujah. Do you thank God for His voice? Amen? Yeah. Amen? You thank God for His voice and His presence? Hallelujah. Yeah. They go hand in hand. And glory be to God. Yes. You know, I just want to get right on into the word that I have for you today. We saw last week, we were looking at Psalm 68, how the Lord is leading us, what? Through the deserts. Everybody say, through the deserts. Hallelujah. And it's rebellion if we try to stay or dwell or remain in a parched place or in a dry land. He's transitioning us, even as though through the water and the fire. Amen? Amen. He's transitioning us into an abundant place. Those come from these verses we talked, if you didn't get last week's message, from Psalm 66 and Psalm 68. I believe it's a word. I just want to say this to you. I believe it's a word for us individually, and I believe it's a word for the church that the Lord wants to press us through. I think it's always challenging when you start to make a stand and you start to decree some things, it seems like the enemy starts to rage. And it's like what he's trying to do, please hear my heart. The enemy is trying, can y'all hear this?
Yeah.
Okay, is it coming through?
Yeah.
Okay, when the enemy's trying to cause us to... He wants us to come into agreement with Him. I don't know how any other way to say it. Because Jesus said, if you agree with me, you confess my word, you stand, you come into agreement with the Lord. That's very, very powerful. Would you agree?
Amen.
Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. So I'm saying, I agree. I am redeemed of the Lord. So, but the enemy's trying to get you to agree with him. That's why an evil report is something you have to reject.
That's right.
And I don't even care if it's factual. You have to decide what you're going to agree with. Are you going to agree with facts and the evil report of the circumstances that are there? Are you going to agree with the word of the Lord? Amen? That was the challenge. Joshua and Caleb believed God was able. They didn't deny that there was giants. They didn't deny there was a fortified city to overcome. Amen? They didn't deny that in the natural it didn't look good. But what they did see was that it's a beautiful, great, promised bountiful land. Amen. And the Lord our God is able to give it to us. And they came into agreement. And the people that didn't agree had to literally die off until a generation that agreed with God. So when we're in these battles, it really comes down to simply that. It's again, part of worship is agreeing with God. Amen. For who He is, who He says He is, and standing on His word. That's part of worship, is it not? And to question that causes us to literally, in a sense, pull back from the altar of worship. Now I'm no longer humble. Now I'm being prideful. I'm saying that maybe my ways or my thoughts or words are just as powerful as God's. And unfortunately, they are powerful over your life if they don't align with God. Amen? If we will call on Him, even in our confinement, like I shared with you last week, He will show us great and mighty things. Now, I've been challenging you since the holidays to start dreaming again. To start seeking God to find out, Lord, what is it is that you want to show me? You know, when He said to Jeremiah, great and mighty things, how many of you know that means this is something that's going to go way beyond what you can understand. It's going to be something that you've never dreamed of before. How many of you want to dream that way? Amen? I want to dream that way with God. But we must allow Him to do a work in us, even while we're in the wilderness. How many of you listened to that little exhortation I gave you this week? Anybody hear it? Okay, maybe not. No, I'm giving it to you now. But even when we're in the wilderness, we have to understand that God wants to do a work in us. Did y'all hear what I said? Yes, He wants to transition you, but you've got to know how to handle the wilderness times because they're going to happen in your life. Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness for a time of prayer and fasting and to be tempted by the devil. Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Did y'all hear what I said? When He brought him out of slavery in Egypt, what did He do? He led him to the wilderness to test them. I mean, you know, we've got to go through these times that are there. So I agree with the Word of God. Like we talked last week, it's rebellion to stay in the wilderness. Do we agree?
Yeah.
It's rebellion to be a wilderness dweller. Okay? That's rebellion. But I want to say this to you. You got to be careful to not resist what God's wanting to do in you while you're in the wilderness. While you're in the desert time. Because how many of you know those are learning times for us to grow and pass the test and to move forward. Somebody say amen. Y'all are really quiet this morning. Times of prayer and fasting can seem like a wilderness. Even when you're praying and fasting and seeking the Lord. But think about this. Greater intimacy with Jesus, freedom from every yoke of bondage, and a greater anointing is promised to those who pray and fast. Hallelujah. So it's worth it. Amen. It's worth it to have those things, as well as he promises the revelation of great and mighty things that we do not know. Fasting and prayer humbles us before the Lord. And how many of you know that's one of the greatest things we can do is we're telling our own flesh and our own lifestyle we are yielding to God right now. I'm not giving in to your pleasures, your desires, what you want all the time. We're getting ready to break the business as usual mold and we're going after God. That's what it means. It also, in the context of what Jesus taught about we need to be a flexible, renewed wineskin. Why? So that we can receive the new wine of his anointing. Well, the context that Jesus taught that was about prayer and fasting. That's what causes you and I. And that's why we have times where we feel like it's an intentional time that God wants to do something, because we all get dry and brittle. And then what God wants to do, if he gave it to us, it would leak out. We would never be able to hold on to it. Amen? Also, prayer and fasting is a time, I like to call it, of a divine detox. It's where God is detoxing us from the things. Let's put it this way. It's where we learn to truly lay aside the sin and the weight that so easily entangles us so that we can run with endurance this race. Because how many of you know, if we're going to cross over, if we're going to transition, we're going to need to have some endurance. Amen. To be able to do that. And so that's why this is important. So I want to encourage you again, continue to declare over this new year, 2021, that it is what? The favorable year of the Lord. Let's say it together. This is the favorable year of the Lord. Hallelujah. It's a year to transition to your abundant and well-watered place. Amen?
Amen.
Now let's be honest. Not that I've not been honest up till now, but let's be honest now. We're really good. Come on. We're really, even Christians, are really good at calling things as they are. Right?
Yeah.
Because some of you are thinking, I just confessed last Sunday the favorable year of the Lord and my whole world spiraled down this week. Right? And so what happens is we easily go back into agreement with the enemy.
Right?
Right?
Yep.
Instead of saying, no, this is the favorable year of the Lord.
Right.
I may not understand everything that's going on, but there is a battle. But I got news for you. The battle is the Lord's. Amen?
Amen.
And I'm going to stand and see the salvation of my God. So again, you can't bypass the purpose of the time of being in the wilderness, but God never intends for you to stay there because he's got a promised place, a better place, an abundant place, a well-watered place for you. And I believe, again, he's speaking to that as us as a church, and he's speaking to us individually as men, women, and families. Amen?
Amen.
So go with me, if you would, this morning to Jeremiah 31. Jeremiah 31 in verse number 2. Thus says the Lord, the people who survived the sword found grace. Everybody say grace. Where? Where? In the wilderness. Israel, when it went to find its rest. The Lord appeared to him from afar, saying, I have what? Loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, I have drawn you with my loving kindness. How many of you love that verse? Isn't that beautiful? I've loved you with an everlasting love, and I have drawn you with loving kindness. Now, I want to present to you today, there is a grace and there is a rest even in the wilderness, even in the desert, even in the dry place. Now, let me say this. We don't want to become comfortable dwelling in the wilderness. That's not why he gives you the grace. Not that you just become comfortable. But can I say this? You don't want to curse it either. We don't read about Jesus going in that time of prayer and fasting in the wilderness, complaining to God, I thought you called me to a messianic ministry. What am I doing this for? Don't curse that place. Are y'all with me? Do y'all see where I'm going? I'm trying to confuse you. In Jeremiah 29, we all know the verse that says, I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, right? Well, the verses that precede that, the Lord says, while you are in exile, I want you to be fruitful, and I want you to multiply, and I want you to increase there and not decrease.
Amen.
Even in a place of exile. So we have to learn how God wants us to be. He doesn't want us to quit living. He doesn't want us to put our life on hold just because we're in a hard place. He wants us to bloom wherever we're planted. But we need to be dreaming about the place that God has called us to be. Amen? I'm dreaming of a harvest that we're going to be freaking out looking for places to house people. I'm serious. That's what I'm dreaming of. Anybody want to dream that with me? Even in the wilderness, we can experience His love and draw close to Him. We can enter into His rest because He gives His grace. Everybody say grace. Now, what I have been hearing this week from the Lord, and I am going to drink water early. What I am hearing from the Lord, to me, and I believe it's for everybody, otherwise I wouldn't share it corporately. I heard this week. Well, I actually began to hear this even when I was right in the throes of the battle of the COVID thing. But I heard this: draw near, seek my face, come up higher. Wow. Draw near. Would y'all say that with me? Draw near, seek my face, come up higher. And I heard it repeatedly. And especially the come up higher part. Now, Paul writes in Philippians 3 that it's called the upward call of God. God's calling us upwardly. Now, many people think of that as, okay, my goal is I'm going to die and go to heaven. And you will go to heaven if you know Jesus. But the upward call is for now. Amen? To knowing of Him. That one of the worship leaders, I think it was Virgil, was singing about be still and know. That word for know means literally to be still and know, and you will see that I am God. So there's a revelation there that God wants us to give of Himself. I believe in interceding and praying for those who are in authority. Do you all believe in that? The Bible tells us to do so. By the way, let me say this, whether you voted for them or not, okay, whether you approve of them or not, we're to pray for them. I'll share more about that in a moment. I'll share it right now. Paul wrote to Timothy. He said, I want you to offer up prayers and intercessions, okay, and thanksgiving for all men, and especially for those who are in authority. Okay? And then I want you to pray for them. I want you to pray for their salvation. Because God wishes what? That none should perish. Hello? Amen. Even politicians. He wishes that none should perish, but all what? Come into the knowledge of the truth. And then He says this. This is interesting. He says that we may lead a tranquil and quiet life in all godliness and dignity. So the authority over us in whatever realm of life. Everybody just get your minds. I don't want you to only think about the election and everything. The authority over us, we're told to pray for them. He goes on to say, I want you men to lift up holy hands and pray without wrath and without dissension. To pray a blessing, because it will bring a blessing on us, because we are the ones who have the power of the blessing. Are you with me? And it goes on to say that this is well-pleasing in the sight of God. Now, when Paul wrote this to Timothy, he had just gotten through encouraging Timothy about fighting the good fight for all those prophetic words that had been spoken over him. But he said, but the first thing I want you to do is this. How many of you, we don't do this, there's a good chance that we're going to be in a lot of turmoil. And I tell you, can I tell you that turmoil is more inner than it is outward. Already things, we're hearing things and stuff's going on, and we can start spending way too much time contemplating and gaining the perception of the world and the perception of man instead of the perception of God. So in our intercession, we need the perception of God. Do you agree with me? Regarding the church, regarding our lives, regarding this nation, would you agree with me? We need God's perception. Hallelujah. Hope y'all pray for my iPad that it will finish this message today. It's acting really weird. It's been kind of blinking at me lately. I don't know if it's flirting or what, but anyway. But He's invited us to see His perspective. Are you with me? Now, there's a verse we know well, but I'll just quote it to you today. It's from Ephesians 2. It says this, but God, being rich in mercy, because of His great love. How many of you know He loves you? Even while we were dead in our transgressions, He has made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. How many of you are in the same boat? Hallelujah. And then He says this, and He raised us with Him and seated us with Him in heavenly places. Now think about, what does that really mean? He has seated us with Him in heavenly places. Now there's something really powerful here. Because, I've studied that verse many times, but I want to read it to you out of the Passion Translation. Get this. We have ascended with Jesus into the glorious perfection and authority of the heavenly realm, where we are now co-seated with Him. Is that not awesome? In that realm that is perfect in its authority. It's a powerful privilege and a powerful honor that God has invited us to in prayer. Would you agree? Yeah. Amen? And frankly, in all honesty, I believe where the Lord is bringing all of us is a game changer if we'll enter into it. I really do. I believe it's a game changer. And again, it's only because of, number one, His great love toward us. And number two, He's rich in mercy. How many are you glad He's rich in mercy? He didn't have a little bit of mercy. He's rich in mercy. Aren't you glad? Hallelujah. Some of you sinners out there need to be saying amen. No. Think about this. Jesus described the Holy Spirit as the helper, right? The comforter. But He also called Him the Spirit of truth. He who will what? Lead us and guide us into all the truth. Amen. And even reveal to us what is to come. How many of you would like to know that? Hello? What is to come? And He will take of mine, Jesus said, and He will disclose it to you. How many of you know we're all filled with the Holy Spirit, but there's realms in the Holy Spirit we've not gone that He's inviting us to go to. That's what I'm hearing the Lord say. The word for truth, it's hard to define it. But the word for truth means, we all know the Word of God is truth, right? But truth in itself, and Jesus is truth. Truth is, in its simplest definition, reality. But what I would bring to you today, the truth of God is a higher reality than anything else we may see. How many know in this three-dimensional world of facts and figures, we need to know what the higher reality is? Would you agree? It's called truth. And I'll tell you, that's the truth that'll set you free. The Word of God is truth. And only the Holy Spirit can bring the truth out of the Word of God that'll set you free. And so that's why we need to look at it that way. Now you may say, well, how do we qualify to access these things? Because sometimes we think that's only reserved for someone like John, right? Or Paul, or you know, a great apostle or a great leader within the church. But can I propose to you today, the Bible doesn't give any distinction of that when you read that verse in Ephesians. If you've been saved, you have been raised and seated with Jesus. Amen? Yeah. Hallelujah. And it's very, very powerful for us to see it in that way. And so I just want to encourage you today. You might say, well, again, Pastor, how do I qualify to have that access? It's because you're redeemed. How many of you are blood bought? If you're blood bought, then you're redeemed, right? Well, what does Hebrews tell us? Hebrews tells us that we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood. Aren't you glad it's not by your performance? Hello. It's by the blood you and I have confidence to enter the holy place. Hallelujah. And then he goes on to say, because we have Jesus, the great high priest over the house of God. Hallelujah. And what can you and I do? We can draw near with a sincere heart and in full assurance of faith. Please note those two things. The blood, well, one, three things. The blood, a sincere heart, and the full assurance of faith. By His blood, we can enter the real holy place. Think about that. Now let that sink in for a moment. Not the replica of the holy place in the temple, but the real holy place. And again, I was praying for the church. I was praying for the nation. And the main thing, I've heard the Lord say, draw near to me before. Seek my face. I mean, you know, it's in all those Psalms, but the come up here part, I was kind of like, you know, okay, Lord. And I kind of knew what He meant because I knew of some verses in the book of Revelation and all that spoke of that. But then He explained to me, He said, I want you to get my perspective. Would y'all agree with me that frankly, man's perspective has not helped us any? Hello. The perspective in the media is not helping us. How about everybody else's perspective in social media? That doesn't change anything for what I need. It isn't the help we need. But He is inviting us to be in the Spirit. Everybody say, in the Spirit. Now that's how John described it in the book of Revelation. He said, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. And if you remember what happened, Jesus appears to him unlike anything John had ever seen. Remember that? I mean, His face shone like the sun. His feet were like burnished bronze. And I mean, His voice was like the sound of many waters. And I mean, he's getting a picture of Jesus that he never saw in the 3.5 years walking on the earth with Him in the natural. He's seeing the glorified Christ in the Spirit. Everybody say, in the Spirit. In the Spirit. So this is how, and then right after that, As we know, John is instructed to write these seven letters to the churches of Asia Minor. And as he writes these letters, they're letters of encouragement and admonishment. And then as he did, every letter he closed with this statement, "Let he who has ears hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches." What the Spirit is saying. I would propose to you today that the Holy Spirit is a speaking spirit. He's also a revealing spirit. And I believe He's always speaking and He's always revealing something to us if we're listening. If we have our spiritual senses tuned in to the Spirit of God. Are y'all with me? Are you with me? It's important that we get this. But we have to answer the call to come up here. I believe there's a realm in God that's beyond just, you know, I prayed and worshiped a little bit and I ran out the door. There's something God's calling us to. Go with me, if you would, to Revelation chapter 4 and verse number 1. Revelation chapter 4 and verse number 1. Now, this is still John. He's just written the seven letters to the churches to give to the angels of the churches. And then in Revelation 1, verse 4, verse 1, it says this. After these things I looked, and behold, a door standing open in heaven. I want you to make note here. The door is open. Everybody say that with me. The door is open. He didn't go bang on the door, try to find a key to the door. The door was open, okay? And the first voice which I heard, like the sound of a trumpet speaking with me. Can you imagine what that would have been like? Everybody been close to a trumpet before? It's quite startling and quite strong, is it not? Come up here and say it with me, everybody, together. I will show you what must take place after these things. Do you see that? Come up here and I will show you what must take place after these things. And immediately I was what? In the Spirit. And behold, a throne was standing in heaven and one sitting on the throne. How many of you know we could use some come up here times? Amen? Some come up here times in the Lord in prayer. Now, I want to say something. I think it's important that I do this today. I want to say to you today, I honor the prophetic. I believe in prophetic ministry. Everybody got that? Everybody hear me? I am not anti-prophetic. Okay? I'm not a non-profit person. I'm for profit. I'm for the prophet. But we're told, in fact, we're told to not despise prophetic utterances. Are we not? We're not to despise them. In fact, all of us, because of the outpoured Holy Spirit, what is one of the greatest evidences? That we all will prophesy. Amen? We also know the gift of prophecy in the sense of the gift of the Holy Spirit and the spirit of prophecy is to what? Exhort, edify, and to comfort, right? In other words, it's to encourage, build up, and console people, right? How many like to get those kind of words? Amen? Though you need those, amen? The church needs those. But there is a prophecy that is of more of an authoritative scale, okay? It's a word for the church, a word for a city or a nation or a region. Are you with me? It's a word that speaks more with more authority. And usually, not always, but usually that is given by someone who's in the function of the office of a prophet on that level. Y'all still with me? Okay. God, let me just say this to you. God has a plan for nations because nations are His inheritance. Are you with me? Are you with me? Come on, guys, talk to me. I don't have Marvin over here yelling at. We're to go and what? Make disciples of all the nations, right? He said, ask of me and I will surely give the nations as your inheritance. So God loves nations. He cares about nations. Are we still there? Now, what I'm not here today to do is to debate the validity of some of the prophetic words that have been spoken. Okay? I'm not here. Now, I'm not talking about in this service. I'm talking about through those who are in the office of a prophet. There have been many things spoken over the church and over the nation in this season. Would you agree? But let me remind you of something. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 13, right in the middle of his teaching on the gifts of the Holy Spirit, he writes the love chapter, we call it. And in that chapter, he makes this statement, love never fails. And I know I said this earlier, but it literally means love never stops loving. God is love, and He will always be love. Aren't you glad? That's why it's called what? An everlasting love. But prophecy will be done away. Tongues will cease. Why? Because we know in part. Say we know in part. And we what? We prophesy in part. When the perfect has come, which is Jesus, when we see Him face to face, everything will change, right? Hallelujah. There is going to be need for tongues or prophecy at that point. Are y'all with me? Are you with me? But prophetically, for now, what do? We look as through a glass dimly, like in a mirror dimly. That's what the Scripture says. Therefore, we what? We prophesy in part. We don't get the whole picture. We don't get the whole story. We don't get all the details. How many of you wish we did? Well, that would be great, but if we did, there'd be a lot more responsibility expected of us. Hello? Here's the point. Prophetic words are partial. They're in part. Which is why we're to what? Examine prophetic words. And the Bible says then when you examine it, hold fast to that which is good, right? We're to judge prophecy. But how many know in judging prophecy, it doesn't mean passing judgment on the prophet. It means to discern the prophetic word, not with a spirit of skepticism. I don't want anybody judging my prophecy that doesn't believe in it. Hello? That'll never work. Are you with me? We are not the prophecy police with our bag of stones ready to kill the prophet, right? Boy, you missed it on that point right there, whatever. But there is a responsibility, okay? I'm not saying there shouldn't be a responsibility. Prophetic words require us to understand timing. How many of you figured that out in your life? Come on. Prophetic words require us to understand timing. But they're also, how many of you know, prophetic words always, it's upon the people to respond correctly also in faith. Amen? I love to use this example. Forgive me, but I'm going to use sports. But if the quarterback backs up and throws a beautiful pass right on the numbers, as they say, and the guy doesn't catch it, was it the quarterback's fault? There's a lot of prophetic words that even the body of Christ, they don't catch it. They don't grab hold of it. They don't run with it. Are y'all with me? And so in that way, we need to understand that. Yes, I know the playoffs are happening. I'm hurrying. People prophesy in part. So we've got to keep that in mind. Does that help you a little bit? But don't despise the prophetic. Because here's what happens. When we despise the prophetic, it will actually cause us to quench the Holy Spirit. Because the greatest manifestation, Paul said, you should seek of all the gifts is that you would prophesy. And so we quench the Spirit of God when we get caught up in a despising spirit. Everybody still there? Now let's be honest. Our perspective or our vantage point is crucial to how we perceive what's going on. Would you agree? And I believe that's one of the reasons the Lord spoke so strongly to me about this. Do we wrestle against demonic principalities and powers of the air? Yes, we do. We are in a battle. The kingdom of heaven is suffering violence against it. But can I tell you today, the kingdom realm of God is the highest of all authority. In heaven and on earth and under the earth. Amen? And guess what? You and I have been given the keys of the kingdom. Hallelujah. So you start to understand. See, once again, how many know keys that aren't used are no good? They don't accomplish anything. Keys have to be applied. And it's important for us to understand that. Jesus told Nicodemus, he said, unless a man be born again, he cannot see or enter the kingdom of God. And I know I've said this to you many times, but you can't enter what you don't see. And that's why our perspective and our outlook and our prophetic vision has to be clear so that we can see. Even if it's partial, we need to run with it and understand what God, and God will bring more clarity. How many of you glad for that? He told Nathanael, he said, you will see greater things than these. And you remember what he said? He actually said this. Jesus did. Okay? He said, you will see the heavens open and you will see the angels of the Most High ascending and descending on the Son of Man. So the Lord constantly is challenging us to see. To see. Even as we were being exhorted today, to be still, to cease striving, to come up here. Let me show you some things in the Spirit. Amen? Yes. Hallelujah. Everybody say greater things than these. Come on, say it again. Greater things than these. I love what God has revealed to me, but I know there's more. Anybody want to know Him more? Hello? I want to know Him more. Paul lived for that. That's all he talked about in Philippians. Nothing else matters to me but to know Him more. He was not satisfied even with what he had seen. And the man wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. Beloved, the kingdom realm of God is real. The kingdom of heaven is real. Please say amen. Amen. It's not a fantasy. This is not a fictional novel to excite us. Oh, that's cool. So we can do some movies. No, it's real. The kingdom of God is real. God is really seated on a throne. And Jesus is really seated at His right hand. And by the power of the beauty of the Holy Spirit, we are one spirit with Him and we are seated with Him in heavenly places. And He says, come up here. Amen? There really are myriads of angels. He's called no other title more than this in the Bible. He is the Lord of hosts. The Lord of the angel armies. Amen? I don't know why I'm getting so passionate, but I guess I'm getting passionate because I'm excited about what God's showing us. We have been saved by grace, raised up and seated with Him in heavenly places. Could this be why the Father is seeking worshipers? He doesn't say, well, the Father is seeking some apostles. The Father is seeking some evangelists. We really need some of those guys. No, He said, the Father is seeking worshipers. Those who what? Worship in the Spirit and in truth. And when we start to understand it, we go, oh, okay, God is looking for some people that are going to tap into that realm that Jesus paid for us to tap into. Are you with me? So when Paul writes in Colossians 3, look what it says there. Colossians 3, verse 1. Therefore, if you've been raised up with Christ, say that's me. That's me. Amen. Keep seeking what? What? The things above. Where Christ is. Seated at the right hand of God. And I would add, where you are too. Amen? Amen? Set your mind on the things above and not on the things that are on earth. That's not easy. Hello? That's not easy to be caught up with what's going on the earth, what's going on in our nation, what's going on in the planet. Amen? But He said, I want you to set your eyes on the right things. Some translations say set your mind, your heart, your affections on the things above. In other words, set your heart and your mind, your affections on the eternal realm of the kingdom of God. And I believe like never before, the Lord is saying, not just to leaders, He's saying to all of us, all of the redeemed who have the blood, you've got the passport, you've got the pass key, you've got the blood to go in. Amen? And to go up higher. Hallelujah. Now, when John was in the Spirit, when this happened, he saw the throne of God. And then the Bible says he saw 24 thrones of the elders. And then he saw a sea of glass like crystal. Have you ever read all of that? You're just trying to imagine what that looks like. And I really get in trouble when he starts talking about colors. Because some of y'all know I'm colorblind. So I'm like going, oh, okay. Now we're getting into colors now, okay. And he starts showing these, and he talks about these creatures before the throne that were saying, holy. We were singing it today. Holy. When you're singing that, you are in unison with the angels before the throne of God. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God, the Almighty, who was and who is to come. Amen? And all the creatures are proclaiming praise around the throne of God. And it says the 24 elders fell down. Now, John's still seeing all of this. Can you imagine? And then they begin to say, worthy are you, our Lord and our God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things. Everybody say all things. And because of your will, they existed and they were created. Wow. How many of you know, I love our nation, but this is way more than about America. This is about the nations. Amen? Because everybody, every tribe and every tongue and every nation, they only exist for His glory and for His will. Amen? We were created. That's why He's called the desire of the nations. Somebody say amen? Come on, y'all talk to me. We have this revelation because John came up there. He answered the upward call. Again, I believe these things qualify us. The blood, everybody say the blood. Having a sincere heart. How many of you know you got to really want to go? You could have a passport to go to any country you wanted to go, but if you don't ever buy a ticket and get on a plane and go, you weren't very sincere about it, right? You got to have a sincere heart. But you also have to have the full assurance of faith. We've got to get to the place where we really believe some of these things the Bible promises. Amen? We really believe it. Lord, you want this for me. And then finally, we have to get to that place in our full assurance of faith where we just say, Lord, I'm going to call upon you. I may feel like Jeremiah right now, like I'm just confined by my life circumstances and situations, but I'm going to call upon you because I know you intend to show me great and mighty things. Hallelujah. And there's one thing we should never forget. With all that's going on right now, we should never forget that the kingdom of God that you and I have received is unshakable and it's unchangeable. Say that with me. Unshakable and unchangeable. Hallelujah. And every other kingdom and every other dominion will shake. So don't be shaken by the shaking. That's why most of us, as you know, the life we've lived as Americans, we're not used to shaking that much. Come on. But don't be shaken by the shaking that's going on. Hallelujah. For it's prophesied. You might as well get over it. I do want to make this statement because I think it's important. I think a lot of people ask me, you know, what do you think about what's going on in your country? And I want to say this today. I want to go on record. I am deeply grieved over America. Okay? I'm deeply grieved. I'm grieved over the manipulation and the witchcraft of the media, which is the false prophets of our day. I am grieved over the continued murder of babies in their mother's womb. Anybody with me? I am grieved over the violence that's in our streets and what we experienced this week in our nation's capital. I'm grieved over hatred and racism. Anybody with me? I'm grieved over, how about child sex trafficking? America leads the world in this stuff. I'm grieved over what's being taught our children in schools. Things that are flat out blasphemous against the teachings of Genesis about our gender and being created in the image of God. Amen? And even the blasphemy of the teaching about understanding that God created the heavens and the earth. Amen? I'm grieved over so-called Christian ministers who would dare to pray blasphemous prayers to false gods in the Senate chambers of this nation that just took place, which makes me wonder what kind of portal got open when he was allowed to pray. Think about it. Think about it. There are spiritual repercussions for these things, beloved. It's called the curse. We can't deny it. But I also believe in the values this nation was founded upon. Anybody with me? I believe our founders understood that true freedom and liberty comes from God alone and only God. Amen? One nation under God, indivisible. That's the problem. We're not indivisible right now. With liberty and justice for all. Amen? We have been blessed. And I want to say this to you. Some may not agree. They would think it would be American ingenuity and all of that. But I want to say something to you today. We are blessed only because we've honored God in our past. We're blessed only because we've been a friend to Israel. We're blessed only because we've given great freedoms to the church up until now. We've been blessed only because the American citizen could freely worship. That's why we're blessed. Okay? And I'm an American. Oh, I don't know why I'm so passionate about this. Because I've had some people ask me, well, do you not care? I do care greatly. And I'm an American citizen, yes. But can I tell you, as an American citizen, I'm believing for another great awakening. Anybody believing with me? We have to have one. Amen? The spiritual fabric of this nation has to be awakened. And it'll begin with the church. Amen? Because it'll affect the nations of the earth. It will. I think America's destiny is to affect the nations of the earth again, as it used to do. But our true citizenship and loyalty is to the Lord God the Almighty. Amen? Amen? There is a higher kingdom. And that's why I think the Lord's saying, you're in the quagmire of an earthly kingdom. I need you to come up here. Doesn't mean you're riding off the earthly kingdoms. It just means that kingdom is destined to become the kingdom of our Lord and King. Hallelujah. And all the awakenings and revivals have always been and they will always be for kingdom purposes. Would you agree? It's always been about harvest. Amen? To receive the harvest of nations, where we will see the kingdoms of this world become the kingdoms of our Lord and His Christ, and He will reign forever and ever. Hallelujah. The glory of the Lord will be the knowledge of the glory of the Lord will be like the waters covering the sea. We haven't seen that yet, but I believe we're going to see it. Anybody with me? So, in sharing that, I didn't plan to spend that kind of time on that, but anyway, I never do. I can press through, and you and I can press through the dry seasons. Amen? We can press through the hard, parched places and the troubled times and the wilderness. Even if we're in exile, we can be fruitful and multiply because of grace and because you and I are blessed to what? Be a blessing. And you know what? We can press through the storms too. Amen? We can press through the storms. We can really fear not. We can really fear not. And we can be in perfect peace. I'm not going to go into much detail about it today, but there was a storm that Paul got caught in. He was called to go stand before Caesar in Rome, but the ship that he was on, he had a prophetic insight that we better not leave. There's a storm coming, and they ignored him. There's a case right there, prophetic word, but they didn't heed to it. Guess what happened? The ship was lost. The ship sank, and they literally floated into this little island called Malta. He and the whole crew holding on the planks from the ship, and they land up at Malta. But let's just back up a little bit. It's true they're going down, but Paul gets before God. And he's seeking God. He's saying, you know, I need to come up here. I need to know what's going on here. I thought I was going to go stand before Caesar. And the angel of the Lord appeared to Paul and said, you will stand before Caesar. But we're going to take a little detour here. He didn't say detour, but I added that. Because you will run aground. And then he said this. I want you to hear, see Paul's heart in this. He said, and I've granted to you all the men on this ship. Which tells me something. Paul wasn't just praying about him getting to his destination. He didn't want to see any of them. Even though they had rejected his prophetic word, he didn't want to see any of them perish. And the Bible says every one of them landed on Malta. Every one of them made it. Hallelujah. That's the power of intercession. Is it not? And even on Malta, Paul took the kingdom. He didn't gripe and complain. They're wet and they're cold. And he reaches down to gather some sticks with everybody else to get a fire going. And guess what happened? A viper comes out and attaches to his arm. And you know what Paul does? He just shakes it off into the fire. Now the islanders are looking at him going, this guy is cursed. He's on a boat that's shipwrecked. And then he gets to the island and gets bit by a viper. By the way, when you get bit by these vipers, you swell up and die really, really quickly. And they keep watching Paul thinking he's cursed and he doesn't die. And then suddenly, people are fickle. Hello? They go, well, he must be a god. But there was a leader on the island. His name was Publius. And his father was really sick. And Paul said, I will come and I will pray for him. And Paul went and prayed for him and raised him up. God healed him. And the next thing you know, everybody on the island of Malta came to Paul to be... He had a healing revival after a shipwreck and a snake bite. Anybody with me? You can get through your wilderness. Hallelujah. You can get through your storm. Hallelujah. Because sometimes that very thing, actually God had destined for Malta to see revival, for Malta to be saved. Isn't that amazing? I just gave you the Cliff Notes version of that. And I got to be careful. I won't go much further with that because that could take a while. And after 3 months, by the way, another ship and vessel comes through. Paul gets on it and guess where he ended up at? His abundant place. He was standing before Caesar to testify. God cares about nations. Amen? And I'm telling you, God's wanting us to understand something. He's called many, many leaders to stand before other leaders, governmental leaders, presidents and kings. Amen? To stand before them on behalf of the kingdom of God. Somebody say amen. Amen. The Lord is extending to us grace and rest in this current season, especially when we feel like we're in the wilderness. Because He loves us with an everlasting love and He's drawing us because of His loving kindness. And I believe the Lord's saying, and I believe this with all my heart, I'm not trying to hype this. He's saying, come up here. I want to show you what must take place. You know, the keys of the kingdom are what? Whatever you shall bind on earth shall have been bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth shall have been loosed in heaven. So how many of you know, for the keys to work, I've got to know the perspective of heaven. I've got to know, what is God doing? Jesus said, I only do what I see my Father doing. I only say what I hear Him saying. So that perspective is so key for us in this hour because I believe the keys of the kingdom work. When I'm convinced that I know God is doing something, I have no problem binding and loosing. Y'all with me? Because you understand the power and the authority that's given to that. I believe it's time like never before to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, to draw near to Mount Zion. Jesus told the woman at the well, because she wanted to argue with Him about where to worship. You people say Jerusalem. My people say on this mountain. And Jesus said, I say unto you, now the time is. It's not going to be about whether you worship on a mountain or in Jerusalem, because see, it's spiritual. He's looking for those who will worship in spirit and in truth. Amen? Amen? It's important for us to understand that. It's a place called Mount Zion. And even though there is a Mount Zion in the Middle East in Jerusalem, That's not even what he was talking about. It's the place you and I, we were going there today in worship. Amen? Hello? Mount Zion. He calls it in Hebrews 12, the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. Myriads of angels. We've come to the church that is enrolled in heaven, the church of the firstborn. Amen? We've come to God, who is the judge of all, and to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant. Hallelujah. That's what we come to in worship, beloved. And we come to the blood that still speaks better than the blood of Abel. Hallelujah. And then he says this, don't you refuse him who's speaking to you. And he repeats it again. Everything that can be shaken will be shaken. Oh, but the kingdom you receive is an unshakable kingdom. So receive it with gratitude of heart and offer yourself in worship before the Lord with awe and trembling, because our God is a consuming fire. Amen? That's the worship at Mount Zion. And he's calling us up. Hallelujah. I'm more excited about it than you are, but I love you. I just don't want to refuse him. I think he's speaking to us. Now, in light of the shaking, I promise this will be quick. Stop with those snarky smiles. But there's four things I want to encourage you with. Ready? Number one, the secret to protection and all of these things that you can find in the Bible is to dwell in the secret place. The word is dwell, and it means to remain and stay there. Amen? How many of you know our time and intimacy with the Lord is very, very key in this hour? Hello? That is very, very important for us, okay? This time of fasting and prayer, if you haven't been pressed into it, press into it. Press into it in this season. You need to have that time. Intimacy with the Lord is developed in the secret place. Secondly, he promises. You don't start cursing your new year. Well, I don't know what's going to happen if they start changing everything. What's going to happen with our taxes? And what's going to happen with the government? And what's going to happen with the economy and all that? Don't go there. You're in a different economy that doesn't shake. Come on. Hallelujah. What did Jesus say? If you will seek first the kingdom, all these things will be what? Added unto you. He was talking about provision, and the answer was the kingdom. And he even went on to say, the Father knows you need these things. Hallelujah. Aren't you relieved? The Father knows what you need. In fact, he said this, do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has chosen gladly to give you the kingdom. That's the answer. It's to come up higher. It's to seek the kingdom. Number three, answer the upward call. Amen? Don't reject the call. Answer it. Respond to God. Come up higher. I was leaving the laundry room, going by our church office, which is in our house right now. And Susan was in there, and I stuck my head in the door to see how she was doing. And she was just sitting there and had her Bible out, and she was having some quiet time, and I interrupted it. And she said, let me show you something. And she had no idea what I was preaching on. I promise you. Just like what the guys were singing today. I don't talk to them about what I'm preaching. And I love how we sing things that I'm getting ready to preach. I love that. We must be one in the Spirit. But as Jesus was beginning to prepare to minister the Sermon on the Mount, we call it, it says when he saw all the crowds, get this, he went up on a mountain. He went higher. Everybody say higher. And after he sat down, his disciples came to him. Now, Susan goes, have you ever read that in the Message? Now, I used to read the Message a lot, but right now I read the Passion Translation a lot. But I'd not read the Message of that verse, or couldn't remember it. And she says, and she read it to me. And I almost just fell in the hall and started crying. I said, Lord, you are so speaking to me. But let me read it to you real quick. When Jesus saw his ministry drawing huge crowds, he climbed a hillside. And those who were apprenticed to him, the disciples, the committed, they climbed with him. And arriving at a quiet place, he sat down, I love this, and he taught his climbing companions. Does anybody want to be identified as a climbing companion? Amen? When the Lord said, you don't have to tell me twice, I'm coming up there. Amen? I don't know, does that bless you like it did me? I want to be a climbing companion. Hallelujah. He's calling us to come up there. And the last thing, number four, smile. A real smile now. We must trust the Lord in this season with all of our heart. And what else does the verse say? And lean not on our own understanding. How many know I just don't get it sometimes? Do you? Hello? Stay in peace because it surpasses your understanding. In other words, do not be shaken by the shaking. The shaking is inevitable. And frankly, if we believe prophetic scripture, it will get worse before the coming of the Lord. Because when it's all said and done, there's only going to be one rule and reign and dominion that stands. Amen? Final verse, and we're going to pray. This is a verse that, frankly, I know all the verses before it, and I know the verse at the end. I love Isaiah 54. I think I may preach on it next week. Isaiah 54 is a powerful verse in the book of Isaiah. But this verse 10 just leapt out at me this week in prayer. Look what it says. For the mountains may be removed and the hills may shake. Hello? But my loving kindness will not be removed from you, and my covenant of peace will not be shaken. Hallelujah. Says the Lord who has compassion on you. Isn't that good? Let's read that together. For the mountains may be removed and the hills may shake, but my loving kindness will not be removed from you, and my covenant of peace will not be shaken, says the Lord who has compassion on you. Would you lift your hands to heaven this morning and lift your countenance toward your Father? Come on, just worship the Lord with me. I want to just pray with you right now. Hallelujah. 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 Birds, could you come up? Yeah. Father, I thank you right now for your everlasting love. I thank you for your love that doesn't quit. Come on, just pray with me and worship with me. I thank you, Lord, that you're drawing us to your heart in this season. Even though we may feel like we're in a wilderness, we know you're drawing us to your heart. Lord, right now we thank you for the blood. Come on. If you're redeemed right now, would you just thank him for the blood? We thank you for that blood of redemption, Lord, by which we can draw near to you and we can come to the holy place. Grant us a fresh revelation of what this really means, Lord, I pray. What does Mount Zion really mean? Thank you, Lord, for giving us access to see and enter your kingdom. And Lord, I pray right now, would you just place your hand over your heart? Just over your very belly, your innermost being. Lord, I pray right now, give us a sincere heart. A heart that desires to come up here. A heart that desires to seek your face and to draw near. To climb the mountain of revelation with you. For such a time as this. Do a work in me, Lord. Create within us a clean heart and a right spirit that would run after you, Lord. Give us hearts that have a full assurance of faith, Lord. Let a fresh spirit of faith come upon all of us, Lord, that we would be a people that would draw near, that would seek your face, that would come up here with you. Give us the grace, Lord, and the understanding. Lord, give us a revelation of Mount Zion that we see in the book of Hebrews. Give us a revelation of it, Lord. Not that we would just know verses, O Lord, but that we may worship you in spirit and in truth. Now, would you pray with me to the Lord? Lord Jesus, everybody pray together. Lord Jesus, like never before, we need your perspective. We need to see from the right hand of the Father. And we thank you that your loving kindness is never removed from us. Come on. That your covenant of peace, O Lord, will not be shaken. For you're faithful and you are true. Pray this with me. Help me, Lord, to make the transition, to allow you to lead me through the deserts, to lead me through the wilderness into our abundant place. In the powerful name of Jesus, we pray. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Would you just stand up before the Lord? We'll just close with a song of worship before the Lord right now. Just lift your voice and worship Him right now. Just respond in your heart. Lord, we want to come up here. Draw near, Lord. my eyes that I may see. Love with you.
You're beautiful.
You're beautiful.